Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. A low pressure system moving across the midsection of the country continues to be the focus for showers and thunderstorms across the Midwest and the Mississippi Valley. The next day or two, look for thunderstorms in Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City tomorrow, followed by some beautiful weather midweek. Sunny, cooler, low humidity. The Northeast will see these showers and thunderstorms by Tuesday into Wednesday, followed by temperatures in the lower 80s for the balance of the week. That's about normal for late summer. After all, meteorological fall starts next weekend. Humid and rainy over the Gulf Coast, especially Florida, this coming work week. This is Dr. Dave Iser Weather Report at 6 and 36 past every hour. Only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Perhaps the perfect crime. Crazy girls, Hollywood involved. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Hot Springs, Arkansas. Woman goes on crime spree at Walmart. People at Walmart coming up. Sterling at night.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Quarantine Adventures. This week, we're going to work on some art to go with the Evansville Museum of Art History and Science. And we're going to make a camp classic.
This we're deep, make booming voice kind of comes
teach
out
you how
with
to
the
make
darkness.
Different kinds. It'll be super fun.
Oh, my gosh, so much excitement. Walter M. Sterling, it's a beautiful summer night. Welcome. As we go across I-80, up and down I-5, this is our time. Our time to be alone in the car. You got rid of the family. You said to the family, listen, I got to go out and do some errands. You have no errands to do. I know what you're doing. You're escaping. You have no errands to do. You just said, let me get out of here for a few minutes. Well, that's good because it's you and me. Welcome. This is Christmas and New Year's and a birthday all rolled into one. This is the big week. Public schools are back in session this week. Regardless of the age of your kid, this is when most kids in America go back to school. And here are the big issues. It's not critical race theory. Nobody cares about that. No one knows what the hell you're talking about. This is what I say to my schools. You ready? This tortures them. When I hear about wacky theories, new things they want to try, I look them in the eye. I say to that principal, the teacher, the superintendent of the school, I look them all in the eye and I say the same thing. How will this help my kid get into Harvard? We're not using Harvard as a specific school. We're just using it as a school of excellence. How will this help my kid get into Harvard? That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And then they're always stumped because at some point, some idiot in the process of your kid applying to college, some idiot will say this sentence. Well, there are many fine community colleges. There are many fine community colleges that your daughter can go to, and we could certainly prepare them to go there. No, that's not what I want you to prepare them to do. I want you to prepare them to go to Harvard. Can you do that? And then it enters into a very long and complex conversation that's completely unnecessary. But the fact is, every kid should be prepared to go to Harvard because it is excellence that the public schools should be aiming for. Here are the other insane conversations that take place. I walk into the public school classrooms. I'm surrounded by other parents, and this is what I inevitably hear when we enter the classroom. This is what I inevitably hear. Ready? I'll walk into the classroom and I'll hear, why is that pinning red? It shouldn't be pinning red. And I'll hear the other parents go, oh, this looks just the way it did when I was going here. What? Yeah, this is just the way it is when I was going here. What? It shouldn't look anything like the way it was when you were going here. There should be no similarity between the classroom today and the classroom the way you had it. Because you're near death. There's nothing in this classroom that should be familiar to you because you're near death. The first shocker is that, oh, they still have an air conditioner in the classroom? How is that possible that they still have an air conditioned every classroom in America? It should be a rule that if the federal government is going to give your school subsidies, you must air condition the room. And it isn't like it was 50 years ago. It's cheap to air condition those classrooms now. The wall units are cheap. They come from China. They come from Walmart. You can make those into an ice house with the units you can get from Walmart. An ice house. Those are the big issues. It should look nothing like it was when you were in school. It should feel nothing like it was when you were in school. And the curriculum should have no similarity to the way it was when you were in school, because the curriculum should be a digital curriculum. It should be loaded up on a laptop. The kids should be able to take it home. An entirely different world. And instead, what do we got? We got parents going, oh, this is looks just the way it did when we were in school. Really? Why? 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 Inexcusable. Everything should be new. Everything should be different. But more importantly, everything should be acclimated and adjusted to our world today. Everything taught in schools today should be appropriate to the world today. And too often it's not. Because most of the math that they teach, most of the reading skills they teach are unnecessary. The only hardcore skill, and this is true, the only hardcore skill that my kids should be learning in school is reading. They should be fluent readers by the time they get out of school. Absolutely fluent readers. Then they can do anything. If my kid can read, they can do anything. But it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that they don't leave school with that. They leave school with the elaborate, weird math. And then one more thing. The student debt. I've heard the most insane theories about the student debt this week, because President Biden wants to cut $10,000 out of student debt. I say, good. Because the reason the debt is so high is not because the government was so generous, was because the government loaded so much cost onto those schools. Now, I was a adjunct professor at a private university. I have no idea how they managed to spend so much money, because here's the shocker. Teachers are not paid more than they were 40 years ago. There wasn't some big bump in teacher pay. There was a big bump in administration of what? Administration of federal funding. In order to get the federal funding that all these schools want, they had to establish an infrastructure, a super infrastructure of administrators to take care of the debt coming from the federal government. They had to fill out more and more and more forms. The amount of forms that these schools had to fill out all of a sudden in order to get their federal funding is crazy, but it required a huge staff, big staffing. And that's where the money's going. That's where the money's going. Therefore, if a kid gets out of school with $40,000-$50,000 in debt a year, that should be wiped out as soon as it possibly can. And here's the thing. almost every private university in America has been so successful at raising funds through their guild systems, that almost every one of these has an endowment of billions and billions and billions of dollars. And therefore, the question must be asked, why would any kid leave these private universities with debt? I'm Walter M. Sterling. My number is 888-688-WALT. No kid should have the enormous private school debt. It's crazy. 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday. Isn't it great when you open up your linen closet and you see all the beautiful sheets, towels, blankets that you've got? What a collection you've got. You take care of them. That's why they're in good shape. Now you have an opportunity to give them new friends. There are Percal sheets for sale at MyPillow. The Percal sheets at MyPillow are beautiful, beautifully colored. They've got black, red, pink, white, whatever color you can imagine, it's at MyPillow. But call them now, because there's a live operator standing by right now who wants to talk to you. When you talk to that operator, say your promo code, and no one else has this, is Walter. Say, my promo code is Walter, and you know what's going to happen? The Percal sheets, which are normally $89.98, will drop in price to $39.98. That's right. They'll drop $50 when you just say my name. $89.98 to $39.98. Here's the phone number. You ready? 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. And what are you gonna reach when you call that number? You're not going to reach a machine. You're not going to reach an automatic anything. You're going to reach a nice person who knows everything about those sheets and will answer every question you've got. No obligation. Just call them. Ask your questions. 800-844-0876. These sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, no risk, and a 10-year warranty. Your car, your wife didn't come with a warranty of 10 years. $89.98 to $39.98, a $50 price drop. Call 800-844-0876. MyPillow.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You deserve to work for yourself. You should be working for yourself. Do you really want somebody, some other grown-up, to tell you when to wake up, when to come to work? No. You want to invest all of that time and energy in your own business, and now you can. Social Indoor is the name of the franchise that you can invest in and have your own territories and your own opportunities to make money. Social Indoor installs a large computer screen in the most luxurious restrooms in your area, in your franchise area. What goes on those computer screens? Whatever you want to sell. And then when people come in, they see the ads that you have sold. I don't know how to sell. Sure you do. You're going to sell it to the retailers, the friends that you've got, the professionals in your community who you've known for years, and it's time to monetize those relationships. You do it with Social Indoor. This is not a formal offering, which can only be made through a prospectus. Find it on their website, Social Indoor.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Johnny Depp.
If there is a dialogue between two people, both people need to speak, but there was no way to fit a word in.
You know, he was at the VMAs this year. That's right. Johnny Depp went to the VMAs. He looked terrifying, absolutely terrifying. He didn't look like 21 Jump Street. No way. Let's see. On the line, we have Bruce. Bruce is the president of my homeowners association. Hello, Bruce.
Sir, thank you for taking my call.
You know, that's the dumbest thing. Yeah, that's the dumbest thing, isn't it, when hosts say, thank you for taking my call. They're paid to take your call.
I'm not the host. You're the host. But
yes,
you know what? I sent you certified mail. You didn't respond. I left you two messages at your home. Nothing. This is the only way I can get a hold of you. Big Shot, I got to get you on the radio.
Well, what's the problem? Do you have a problem, Bruce?
Yeah, I do have a problem. I heard you the first time. My problem is, number one, is not the discourtesy you showed me by not responding. My problem is the fact that I've got an angry member of the Homeowners Association because you're in violation of the Homeowners Code. and I got to hear about it? I don't need to hear about these things. Why can't you just be responsible? You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
No.
Or don't you?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll be technical with you because you're going to play games. Because I know you know. You are violating 4012. Oh. Unreasonable denial of that. I don't want to talk while you're interrupting, sir. Unreasonable denial of access by another homeowner for a reasonable reason. These people, their kid, and it might have been their grandchild, the wiffle ball went over, and you put up a fence next to them? Number one, I'm told you put the fence up, the short fence, about a foot out of place. And second of all, the little kid can't get the ball. All they want is the ball back. They don't want to be your friend.
I don't want kids in my yard, and therefore I put up the fence.
But you know you signed the homeowners association agreement when you purchased. Did you read it?
No.
Okay.
I didn't read it for a reason.
I don't mean to beat you up. You've got a great reputation in the neighborhood, and not just because you're a bit of a celebrity. But we know what you've done in the community. It's not about that. But we've got a little kid who wants to play ball. Kids are hanging around in shopping centers now doing nothing because they can't play ball when they're young. We don't want that for our kids.
Don't they have parents? Aren't their parents' job to take care of these things?
Their parents' job was to sign an agreement that will allow them to get the baseball. Come on. I don't want to give you a hard time. You sound like a decent guy, and I know you got to put on a show for your people, and this is the last thing in the world that you would call entertaining. But I didn't know how to get a hold of you, man.
Well, first of all,
I got to hear from Mrs. Avery calls me every day. She's worse than my ex-wife.
Well, that must be a nightmare.
So you have no idea. You know what? I know what I'm going to do. If you don't take care of that little fence, I'm going to make you call Mrs. Avery, or worse, make you call my ex-wife.
But isn't like wiffle ball the lamest sport? It's barely a sport.
Of course. But it's not my job to judge these people. It's my job to enforce the rules. You're right. Wiffle ball is, the next thing after wiffle ball, they're going to go canoeing.
Did you watch the Video Music Awards tonight?
No, I didn't watch the Video Music Awards. Frankly, I spent 45 minutes on the phone with Mrs. Avery. Then I had to tell my wife I was going to call you. And I had her 15 minutes from my wife about why do I have to call you on a Sunday night. Then my daughter was over, and she, of course, had to add her 2 cents in. And she tells me that I shouldn't call you on the air and embarrass you on the air. You know what? So this is what you've done to me.
Why did you buy an electric car?
I didn't buy an electric car. You think I wouldn't buy an electric car. I'm not one of those people.
I'm looking out my window and I see an $83,000 electric car in your driveway. Whose car is that?
My wife must have a lover. I'm not home.
A lover?
I'm out of town. I left.
Where are you?
Hello?
Where are you?
I left. I'm not going to let your listeners know where I am. Well, suffice it to say, I'm 10 miles away from my home across the state line.
Across the state line?
Yeah.
Did you watch the big game this weekend?
What was the big game in your life?
The big game in my life was the Browns and the Jaguars. Did you see that?
I heard about it. I know that the Browns won.
Then tomorrow is the first day of school. And you know what's shocking about the first day of school tomorrow is that the schools are still not air-conditioned.
Well, you've neutralized me because I believe the air conditioning is a proof of a higher power. I love air conditioning. My old man grew up without air conditioning. I don't know how he did it.
No, I don't either. And when the old guys say, well, you know, we didn't have air conditioning when we were in school, I look at them and I go, yeah, and you're near death. So I don't know what the issue is. I don't know how is it possible that these schools are still not air-conditioned. 60% of the schools in America are still not air-conditioned.
Don't get me started. I agree with you totally.
Is there any other crime I've committed in the eyes of the Homeowners Association?
Actually, I care more about the fact that you were discourteous to me and didn't return my calls. Because if you return my call, we could have had this conversation, and I could have told her, lady, you want to get a lawyer, get a lawyer. Now I got to have this conversation on a Monday, and Monday's my golf day.
I'm never going to return your calls.
Well, could you put that in writing? It'll save me a lot of time.
Yes, counselor, I will put it in writing.
Don't call me counselor. I'm the head of the Homeowners Association. You know why I am?
Why?
Because no one else would take the job.
Isn't that true of all
Next
homeowners
year,
associations?
And you know what? Next year, I'm going to nominate you. You don't return my calls, I'll nominate you.
Well, believe me, if you nominate me and I run, I'll win and I won't do the job. I guarantee it.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you get elected, I'm calling you every day.
Thank you very much, Homeowners Association President. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. I hope you never call again. They're miserable jobs that instill immediate hatred in the community. They include president of the Homeowners Association and president of the co-op board. If you're in a big city and you live in a co-op, the president of the co-op board is the nightmare job, but it's also always the same person. It's the same person. I'll never forget. I was living in a co-op in Manhattan, 3 p.m. on a Sunday when nobody should be knocking on my door except a gorgeous girl. Door knocks, and I go, who's there? And I hear Arlene out there going, hello, I'm on the board. I'm on the board. I want to check your windows. I don't want you to check my windows at 3 p.m. on a Sunday. We can do that at 3 p.m. on a Monday if you call ahead. If you call ahead, then we can do that. No. Oh, my gosh, the nightmare that those people even exist is frightening. Now, I've got a lot of stuff for you coming up tonight. We have James Copeland, who's going to share with us the details about the job of being the producer for Sterling on Sunday, because he's leaving, he's quitting. We're going to go over the job requirements, the job description, and see if I've got it right. All right, big show, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. I hate to say it, but more heat is on tap for the great American West. High pressure, which receded over the weekend, will build and re-exert its influence here in late summer. Las Vegas will see highs of 102 the next day or two and then sizzle to 110 by midweek. Sacramento around 100 by midweek, also after a cooler weekend last weekend. Monsoonal thunderstorms will bubble up again by midweek too. Even Seattle and the Northwest will see more 90s. But it's almost September. Let's at least think of fall. This is Dr. Dave Iser. Weather reports at 6 and 36, past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 36 past the hour, 36 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. We're very excited, as you can imagine, to go over the reality that James Copeland is going to Coffeyville, Kansas, to be a morning man. A morning man in Coffeyville, Kansas. This is a dream job for any communications major, especially one who graduated from Kansas State University. James, are you a little excited about your new job possibility?
Oh, yes, I am very excited to be on a 10,000-watt AM radio station at 690 on the dial.
When does it start?
Starts September 1st, so believe it or not, yeah, it's coming right up.
Well, the deal, James, is that means that he can no longer produce Sterling on Sunday. And that's a tragedy for me, because I'm gonna have a hard time finding anyone as good or as warped as James. Now, James produces this show out of his Winnebago sitting in a cornfield in Kansas. How he does this, I don't ask. I don't ask for any details about how it happens. All I know is that when I need wacky sound effects, clips of audio, it appears. It appears magically. I thought I would share with you, and you, James, the job description I've written up, and perhaps you could amplify things that I may have forgotten, anything the potential producer of the show should know. And here it is. So here's the job. Here's the list. You process short audio clips for use on the air from a variety of sources. You make them into MP3 files. The only file I understand is an MP3 file. You select stories from mass publications, mass market publications, for use on the air based on a profound understanding of the show's appeal. You have to know what this show appeals to, who it appeals to, and then you know what stories I should talk about. You shape topics for the host to present on the air. So there may be topics, but they're not any good unless you say, hey, Walter, do it this way, and then I know what to do. Produce the show's content by challenging the host's selection of topics and refining them. It's not just enough for me to say, here are the topics I want to do, James. They have to be challenged. You have to challenge it. Upload air checks of the show to the show's website for curation. Keep the website content current. Our website is waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Once a week, you record Walter's live reads of commercials. You produce them with appropriate beds. And then we send them to our host station, WPHT, for uploading to the network. Also record and produce show promos for distribution to affiliates. And then we book guests and inform them of their time and place of participation. And then I want the producer to develop a character like they all seem to have on the big shows. Develop a character for participation in the show, and then the work must be completed on time. I know that seems odd to put down, but if I don't put it down, somebody will think, well, I can find myself. I can do work and find myself. I don't really have to do it at any given talk, but this is a radio show. It has to be done on time. James, have I forgotten anything?
No, it's all good. Yeah, it's good that, yes, we are in radio and there are actually deadlines. You know, things are aired at certain times. But, yeah, you really, as far as the equipment you actually need, it's pretty basic. If you have any sort of audio editing software, there's a lot of free editing pieces of software out there. I use Adobe Audition, which is not free. I'm spoiled on that, and I refuse to use anything else. So if you have some basic familiarity with that, and you'll get better. But ideally, you have someone who already has some experience with that. And then as far as connecting you to Walter via audio, we have a wonderful piece of software that I work for that we will provide you with that, so where you can connect in broadcast quality. So it's pretty basic. You just need an internet computer and maybe a basic mixing board as far as the actual physical stuff you need to help with the show.
The software that we use to connect to each other was created by Lee Harris, and the name of it is Q Go Live. Q-Go Live. It's an elegant, tiny piece of software. It doesn't take up much space. It works every time. It's really quite amazing.
Yeah, and it's super easy. You know, we can deploy it on radio stations in a matter of minutes, whereas normally you'd have to ship some sort of box and install it, and you have to get engineers out and pay them union rates in some states, and so no one wants to do that. So this is much easier for any radio station or just individuals, podcasters, that sort of thing, just to connect and go live in broadcast quality in a matter of minutes.
Isn't that amazing? It really is amazing that it's just a little piece of software that connects us to sound as though we're a live radio connection. Now, what about my temperament? How is it to work with me?
Oh, yes. No, you are a privilege to work with. You know, anyone who gets to work with Walter know that you are working with a radio legend. And so, you know, that in and of itself is worth it. But, yeah, Walter will respond to your emails usually. You're not going to answer the phone usually, but that's okay. But you'll answer the email, and you'll call me back, or I will answer when you call.
I don't see any real need to answer a call, but that's the thing.
No, I mean, it's because it could be the homeowners association.
That's the problem. You might get a random call from, like, the president of the homeowners association, but I was talking to Jarl Mohn, the president of NPR. He used to be the president of NPR. Just think about that for a moment, me talking to the president of NPR. And I was talking to him about the phone. And he said, you know what, Walter, in the past few years, people don't call. Nobody calls. They text or they email, but they do not call. Have you found that to be true?
And it's so sad, honestly, sometimes, because it seems like in order to have an actual phone conversation with someone, it's like you have to create a meeting. You have to, like, get it all planned out ahead of time and do all these things, whereas... Or you could just pick up the phone and maybe see if they answer. And that's kind of unfortunate. It's like, you know, I have lots of people, you know, who they almost expect that I have to, like, text them and get a date and a time set up just to have the privilege of talking with them on the phone. And it's just bizarre. I mean, if they don't answer, you just leave a message or something. It's weird.
That is the weirdest thing. It's like they'll say to me, all right, let's set up a time to talk. I'm like, what? Let's set up a day and a time where we're going to have our next conversation. I say to them, I say, just what you said. I say, I got an idea. Why don't you call me and see what happens? Call me and see what happens. This idea of setting up a date and a time for phone calls is crazy talk. It's crazy. Just, I have a phone, you have a phone. Why don't you try to use it? See if I answer. And this is in the past 10 years, this new phenomena, and I find it pretty annoying. But James Copeland, I can't begin to tell you what a great job you have done, how grateful I am to you for everything that you've done for Sterling on Sunday, for the comic characters you provide, for the brilliant production you provide, for Asbestos Falls, which was a brilliant, brilliant series, and I thank you. So in Coffeyville, Kansas, if at any time Sterling on Sunday can do anything for you, James, pick up that phone and we will do it.
Well, I appreciate it, Walter, and it has been quite a privilege to work on a network radio show like this.
All right. That's James Copeland. My name's Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. I love talking to the MyPillow people. The MyPillow customer service people are waiting to talk to you right now and answer every question you've got about the Percal sheets. The Percal sheets are the premium sheets with a dense thread count. The dense thread count, what does that mean? A more comfortable sleep. A more comfortable sleep. Here's the number to call, 800-844-0876. When you call them, ask them every question. How long will these last? They got a 10-year warranty on them. 10-year, your car doesn't have a 10-year warranty. And it's got a 60-day money-back guarantee. If you're not happy in the next 60 days, send it back. You'll get all your money back. Here's the phone number, 800-844-0876. It's no risk. If you're not happy with these sheets in the next 60 days, you send them back. 800-844-0876. But here's the best part, the price. These sheets are normally $89.98. They're going to be price dropped by $50 to $39.98 just by saying, Walter! All you have to do is say, Walter! And the price drops $50. Whoa! So please give it a call, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. These sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, no risk, and a 10-year warranty. Your car, your wife didn't come with a warranty of 10 years. $89.98 to $39.98, a $50 price drop. Call 800-844-0876. MyPillow.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I don't want to have sex. You're my wife, for God's sake.
There is really no question that most married men who go to strip clubs do it in the dark of night to make sure their wives don't know. Perhaps a business person's lunch. You know how it goes. Crazy girls in Hollywood. It is a hot club filled with fabulous babes who have broken dreams of being a Hollywood actress. Unless it's, well, you know, in the smut category. All right. So these damsels dance away and people go out and watch them jiggle their stuff. And a couple of gentlemen realized, you know what, there's a lot of married men here. They have a lot of money. Let's start robbing them. And that's exactly what happened. But good news, the bad guys, they got caught. Michael Moore of Fairfield and Amaa Kenya Bunton of Sacra Tomato. Arrested Monday after they followed some gents out of that club and robbed them at a gas station, probably in Arco. And realize this, gang, for a second. When you go to the strip club, you often are flashing a lot of cash, right? Yeah, that's problematic because not every person at the strip club is looking for a cheap thrill by a lovely lady. Some of them are looking at your wallet, your watches, your rings, and your cell phones. Helpful hint. When you go, dress poor. Wear no jewelry. Keep it low key. A cautionary tale. From the Champagne Room, this is D'Lo Hool. For strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
No other network radio show has ever given you tips on how to dress when you go to a strip club. But we did. And for that, right there, we should win a Marconi Award. Right there, we should win an award. Because these services that other shows provide, they're useless. How to dress when you go to a strip club, that's what you need to know. That's the valuable service. It's 51 past the hour, and I know what you're doing. You don't need to be out now. You should be home. But you said to your current bride, you said, hey, you know, I'm going to do some errands now. I'm going to pick up some things that I know we need. The kids are going to need tomorrow for school. There's nothing that those kids need tomorrow for school that your spouse has not already provided. Nothing. What you need to do is to be at home in bed, allowing you to get up early in the morning and get them to school. That's your job. That's what we do as fathers. Let me tell you, when my 10-year-old was getting ready for school this year, it was crazy talk. I started to get a list of, these are the things I need to get on Amazon. These are the things I need to get at Target, at Walmart. The list of things she needs, she imagines that she needs to go to school, is terrifying. But I won. We won. I got her the ultimate in backpacks. The ultimate backpack. You ready? The entire back of the backpack is Poppets. The whole back is Poppets. It is, first of all, it looks great. But secondly, she can sit there and pop the Poppets all day in school, in the bus. Wherever she is, she can pop the Poppets. And so when she came home last week, I said to her, did any other kids have this Poppet backpack? No. Finally, we won. Finally, after years and multiple children, we won. I finally got her a backpack that is cool, no one else has, looks great, and is a really good backpack. It's made out of pink vinyl. No, not pink vinyl. Pink whatever. What's the material? Canvas. Pink canvas. And then the the plastic poppet sheet is on the back of it. And then inside is the lunchbox and whatever else she wants. It's perfect. Never have I nailed it like this before. Usually I get it wrong. The color's wrong. The style's a little out of date. This is the one, the Poppet backpack, which we got on Amazon. You get your kid that, you will be a hero. And they're all priced the same. They're all $29.95, which is too much. But it lasts all year. And then we got a cute lunchbox. And what did she, what am I giving her for lunch tomorrow? Peanut butter and jelly, because I don't have Nutella. There's nothing more insane than always having to have Nutella. I'm not going to give you Nutella every day because I don't quite understand the benefits of giving you cake icing on white bread. That's what a Nutella sandwich is, right? It's cake icing on white bread. Doesn't seem like a sustainable topic, a sustainable lunch. Doesn't seem best. Now we've worked out a deal, which is amazing with the 10-year-old. We've worked out a deal. One day she has home lunch, which is the lunch I make, and then the next day she has school lunch from school. That's a good deal. We alternate days. I make it one day, the school makes it another day. It's ideal. Oh, when does her mother make it? Oh, yeah, when does her mother make it? That's never happened. I can't think of that ever happening. Am I still married to her mother? Yes, I am. Does she live with us? Yes. But her mother's never made the lunch in my memory. It's a whole different world. All right, here's my number, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. You know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to take a picture of whatever you're looking at right now. I want to see what you're looking at right now and send it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send it to me, and then I'll put it up on my Instagram sometime this week, but I'd love to see it. Now, listen to me carefully. Do not send me a photo of food. Don't send me a photo of anything you're eating. Send me what you're eating. Let's just skip the whole step. Please send me what you're eating because you have very good taste. I know I want to eat what you're eating. Why not? I have a website, Walter M. Sterling. Walter M. What is it? It's Walter Sterling. Sorry. Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. And you will find out everything you could ever possibly want to know. Coming up, I have Florida stories for you. Drive-through brew. We have Vic Ferrari and his real cop story, his real retired police detective story. He has the best stories. So it's a full show, as you can hear. Then I have an email, and every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. It's spectacular. This is the sort of two-way interaction with the radio you've always dreamed of. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. A low pressure system moving across the midsection of the country continues to be the focus for showers and thunderstorms across the Midwest and the Mississippi Valley. The next day or two, look like thunderstorms in Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City tomorrow, followed by some beautiful weather midweek. Sunny, cooler, low humidity. The Northeast will see these showers and thunderstorms by Tuesday into Wednesday, followed by temperatures in the lower 80s for the balance of the week. That's about normal for late summer. After all, meteorological fall starts next weekend. Humid and rainy over the Gulf Coast, especially Florida, this coming work week. This is Dr. Dave Iser, Weather Report at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Hot Springs, Arkansas. A woman goes on crime spree at Walmart. People at Walmart coming up. Sterling at night.
Everyone, welcome back to Quarantine Adventures. This week we're going to work on some art to go with the Evansville Museum of Art History and Science. And we're going to make a camp classic. So we're going to make some lanyards. I'll teach you how to make different kinds. It'll be super fun.
This deep booming voice kind of comes out of the darkness.
Yes, here it is. The deep booming voice coming out of the darkness, following you into the Love truck stop. These are fascinating to me. Truck stops amaze me. Who knew that there was still a market for CB radios? That's what really amazes me. That you can get all kinds of CB radios. The best thing about CB radios is you can get some with reverb. Now, it's pretty annoying to CB radio someone else, but then to use reverb on it, wow. Wow. You have to be pretty annoying. Well, hi, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome to my big show. And you have to be very careful now, this week when your kid goes back to school, of kid anxiety. And one of the things you have to be careful of is if your kid says, I'm going to wear a back-to-school necklace. And you think, well, that's nice. You know, I got you a necklace at Zales. And I'm glad you're wearing it. No, that's not what they mean. The back-to-school necklace is a reference to a suicide noose. That's right. Apparently, it's a suicide noose. And if a kid starts talking about wearing a back-to-school necklace, that's a bad thing. I looked at my 17-year-old, and I said, do you know what a back-to-school necklace is? And she looked at me and goes, what? And I explained to her what it means, that it's a reference to suicide. And she said, Dad, a lot of these things people start saying, they don't mean it in that context. Then it gets used a lot. It means nothing. She looked at me. She says, it means nothing. And she goes to a big high school, 2,000-kid high school. I said, did anybody kill themselves last year? She goes, no. And that is the entire discussion that we had. I think a lot of this is dragged out into the Lifetime movie and made more dramatic than it needs to be for reasons I'm not quite sure. I pray that these things never come true, but I think between the school and you keeping an eye on the kid, it really doesn't have to get that serious. Ever. I mean, ever. But I'm glad they're all going back to school. I got the 19-year-old at Syracuse University, and she's in her sorority, and the 17-year-old is going back to high school. We're very happy about that. But here's my issue with the 17-year-old, besides everything. She wants to get her nose pierced. She doesn't want some big, ugly chain hanging on it, but she wants her nose pierced. And she's 17. At 18, she can do whatever she wants, but she doesn't want to wait till 18. She wants a little crystal, a little clear crystal in her nose. And I'm like, why? Why do you feel you need that in your nose? Well, I was very proud of her this week. My baby went up for a job. She went in for a job, and she went in for a job at a retail chain, a chain you have heard of, a nice retail chain, where she would be selling soaps and candles and that kind of weird soap that fizzes when you put it in the bathtub. You know the kind of soap that makes bright colors and it fizzes when you put it in the bathtub. She went there. She applied. She clearly is not 50. She looks young. She is young. She's 17. She fills out the forms. Fine. They love her. They want her. They call. That was on a Monday. They call her back on a Thursday, as they promised, and said, we'd like you to work here. They had 4 days to review the situation. And then corporate got involved. Corporate got involved. And corporate said, oh, no, you're too young. You have to wait till you're 18. Well, it was no secret. Her age was no secret when she walked in the door. 17. All right, now it gets better. I'm reading the corporate website. I'm reading the history of the corporation. And on the history of the corporation, you know what it said? It said one of their founders, one of the people who was responsible for gathering a lot of the content, the candles, the soaps, they started as a sales assistant in one of the shops when they were 17. Not good enough for my kid, but good enough for one of the founders. Now, I could make a big fuss and say the name of the company and call the CEO on the air, but this is where they always screw up. You get a 17-year-old who's enthused about going to work, fills out the forms, meets everybody in the store. They can't wait to hire her, and then corporate changes its mind. What am I to make of that? Any advice for me on how to handle it? Because what I want to do is I want to go to the store, put on a suit and tie, go to the store, and have a chat with them. There'd be no upside to this, but that's what I want to do. What do you think I should do? 17-year-old applies for a job, is accepted for the job. They can't wait for her to start, and then they go, oh, corporate says no, you're too young. She's 7 months too young. This isn't about working a tractor. 888-688-WALT is my number. I am live. I'm live! 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday. It's time. You open up your linen closet, and what do you see? You see the same sheets you saw 6 months ago, a year ago. And there's nothing wrong with them. You take good care of them. That's why they're beautiful sheets. But isn't it time to give your sheets new friends? New friends from MyPillow. Percal sheets. Beautiful Percal sheets. There are certain words we never look up. We don't find out what Percal means. What it means is a thicker thread count, a denser thread count, which means a more comfortable sleeping experience. You deserve that. You deserve a better sleeping experience, and you get it with the MyPillow Percal sheets. Here's the phone number. There's somebody there right now to talk to you. 800-844-0876. Please call them right now to prove to them that this show sells product. 800-844-0876. Use my name, Walter. And here's what you get. The price of the Percal sheets drops from $89.98 to $39.98. A $50 price drop just with a phone call. And my name, Walter. Call 800-844-0876. Ask them about the sheets. Get the full range of colors. You won't believe what they've got. 800-844-0876. Think about your linen closet. Think about how much better it would be if it had some extra interesting colors like black or pink or mauve or sea mist. Those colors are available to you right now if you call MyPillow at 800-844-0876. Use my name, Walter, and the price drops from $89.98 to $39.98.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You deserve to work for yourself. You should be working for yourself. Do you really want somebody, some other grown-up, to tell you when to wake up, when to come to work? No. You want to invest all of that time and energy in your own business, and now you can. Social Indoor is the name of the franchise that you can invest in and have your own territories and your own opportunities to make money. Social Indoor installs a large computer screen in the most luxurious restrooms in your area, in your franchise area. What goes on those computer screens? Whatever you want to sell. And then when people come in, they see the ads that you have sold. I don't know how to sell. Sure you do. You're going to sell it to the retailers, the friends that you've got, the professionals in your community who you've known for years, and it's time to monetize those relationships. You do it with Social Indoor. This is not a formal offering, which can only be made through a prospectus. Find it on their website, Social Indoor.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Alana Haim.
Alan, I talked to God, I don't know if you understand. He said, sit by me and I'll be your guide. Don't ask me what I think of you. I might not get it that you want me to.
Self-checkout. It is a place for scammers. Now, Walmart's able to save $15 an hour on employees by letting people check out themselves, and they don't have to pay them, and Walmart charges more for it. All right, it's called skip scanning, and you have probably done it, perhaps, by accident. Deborah, she's 45. She was skip scanning, where you scan, put two things on at one time on top of each other, scan one item, put that in the bag. So the eagle-eyed employees of Walmart found her out, called the cops. The cops searched this poor woman, and they found something more than just shoplifted items, which were all recovered with a value of $287. So this woman had quite a buggy going up to that scanner. They found 5 baggies of meth. Huh, intent to distribute much? Plus over 2 grams of weed. So this woman is not only going to jail in Hot Springs, Arkansas for weed and meth, but also shoplifting. Here's a handy tip for all of us to keep in mind. Before you go shoplifting at Wally World, make sure and do your level best to leave the drugs in the car. Helpful hint, people of Walmart, I'm Velo Ghoul, Sterling at Night.
It's time to explore music. I know it's VMA night, but we can't understand that. But this is what we can understand. You ready? Britney Spears and Elton John have released a song this week. Britney's first song in years and years and years. And she recorded it with Elton John. And I thought, well, okay, let's listen to it. See what you think. This is it. What is it called? Tiny Dancer or something? Britney Spears and Elton John, listen to it.
Chances breathe between us.
Elton John and Britney Spears. I don't hear Britney. Did you hear Britney in that? I don't hear her anywhere in that song. Maybe that improved the song, but I didn't hear her anywhere in the song. It just seemed like a version of Tiny Dancer, like a dance version of Tiny Dancer with Elton John. I don't see the, how that's Britney's comeback. What do you think? My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Dan, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Good evening, Walter. You are welcome for taking my call.
Yes,
so,
Dan.
As far as your daughter and that company, which shall remain nameless, you know, these people want to blame it on, quote, corporate. Oh, it's corporate. You know, ask them specifically for a name and talk to that person. And you should point out that hypocrisy about them bragging about their founder starting at 17. I don't know. I'm thinking one of these older women were just jealous of your pretty 17-year-old and didn't want to hire her.
Well, I hope you're wrong. It's always a possibility. The tragedy is that she's unusually pretty. And she's also sweet and kind and dug in the first day and learned everything she needed to learn about the products so she could discuss it honestly and candidly. I found it suspicious as well, Dan. And I thank you
well,
for your
sir,
call. 888-688-9258. Didn't mean to cut you off, Dan. 888-688-9258. Now, about this Britney Spears song, I don't hear Britney in the song. I hear Elton John. I hear his lyrics. I hear his music. I don't hear Britney. And it sounds like a mess of a disco song, a mess of a dance song, like in Monaco. If you were to go to a nightclub in Monaco, this is the sort of messy thing you'd hear. Here, play that again. Play some of that again. Can you do it? It sounds like it's a bad mix. It sounds like it should be in mono, and it isn't in mono. It's in stereo, and we're only getting one track, one side, one channel. Sorry, one channel. But I don't hear her. I hear him. Yeah, it's a nice disco song. But I don't hear Britney Spears. Do you? This is not one I'm going to download. Are you? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. You think they're going to... Now, they've already, what, had 3 million downloads? Tony, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Tony.
Hey. Hey, Walter. How are you? Long time no talk.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good. It sounds like mono-e-mono between Britney and Elton. I hear a little Britney, but she sounds electronic. And I think it's a stain on the original myself, personally, from that was from 1971's Madman Across the Water album by Elton. As far as your daughter, I would have her find... I wouldn't intercede if I were you. I would have her find out if that is officially a corporate policy. And if it isn't, then it sounds like it's discrimination to me.
Yeah, I have to hold back on being a dad and not go in and not chat with the manager. She's more than capable of handling these things herself, but she's sweet and she's shy. And
right.
It's just a tragedy. If this kid marched in there, applied for the job, and then got screwed around.
Well, it's going to be a major loss to them, sounds like to me. So I would, if I were her, I would explore all the corporate policies. And then if it isn't a corporate policy, I would pursue it because it's worth it. And they need to know that they're giving up a potentially excellent employee.
Well, Tony, what are you doing this week? How's your week shaping up?
I'm actually working, and I haven't been working nights. There's been a lot of changes at my job, staffing changes, and it's been topsy-turvy. We've had some illness and death close to us lately, unfortunately. But my birthday's coming up, and I hope to have a little bit of fun, sing a little karaoke, and it's always good talking to you, Walter.
When's your birthday?
Friday the 2nd.
Mine is the 3rd.
Really?
We're Virgos.
I know another friend. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We're Virgos. We're tough.
Yes, we are. I have another friend that lives in Hawaii, and his is the 3rd as well. He's a lot younger than us.
No. All right, you're the best, Tony. Thanks for calling me at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. You and I should always be in touch. Well, coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk to Pugs and James Parker. James Parker does the Florida Stories. Mr. Florida Stories is going to be here coming up in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Long John Neville.
It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. I hate to say it, but more heat is on tap for the great American West. High pressure, which receded over the weekend, will build and reexert its influence here in late summer. Las Vegas will see highs of 102 the next day or two and then sizzle to 110 by midweek. Sacramento around 100 by midweek, also after a cooler weekend last weekend. Monsoonal thunderstorms will bubble up again by midweek, too. Even Seattle and the Northwest will see more 90s. But it's almost September. Let's at least think of fall. This is Dr. Dave Iser. Weather reports at 6 and 36, past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
You know what we need? We need to have Pugs and James Parker. James Parker does Florida Stories. He does a brilliant job, great job. And his buddy Pugs, who is a brilliant broadcaster. Hey, Pugs, when was the last time you were, like, working full-time in radio?
I haven't done full-time radio work in probably 5 years. I did a short-lived, three-week-long sports radio show in Chicago for WGN. WGN tried to do a sports station for like 3 weeks 5 years ago, and that was the last time. And after that, I was like, I'm out. I'm out. Can't do it.
And what was the problem?
Well, they gave a format 3 weeks. That was the problem.
Since your last full-time job, what was the problem?
Well, honestly, I think that there's a style of radio that I like to do that I just can't do it anymore. I can't, I'd like to entertain. I like to talk about all kinds of different things. And it just seems like, Walter, the only jobs available for a guy like me out in radio these days is, I got to be pinned into talking about, specific subjects or, beating dead horses or, God forbid, talking sport. And I love sports. I'm a sports guy, but I couldn't do sports. I long for the days where a talk show host could just be a talk show host, Walter, where he could just talk about the world as it's laid out in front of him.
Now, you say you like sports. You can talk about sports.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I'd probably be the best sports talker in America. I mean, kidding you. I am a blowhard. I am a barstool prophet. But I can't do that. I couldn't imagine just saying 4 hours and all you can do is talk about sports.
Oof. 4 hours of talking about RBIs. I've never understood that. But now, for the first time in decades, there's something in sports that I find interesting. Trevor Lawrence's wife.
Do tell.
Marissa Mowry, who's now Marissa Lawrence, she grabbed that last name instantly upon getting married. Instantly. There was going to be no delay. She got the rookie of the year signing money, and she now she has the rookie of the year signing money. You're supposed to know him.
Yeah. Well, him I know.
Yeah. So he was the number one draft choice last year. That means how much money? Isn't that like a fixed amount? How much money is that?
Well, yeah, it's there's a league minimum for rookies, but it's his signing bonus. His signing bonus is the one that can be ridiculous. Like, you know, right, could so be a $50 million signing bonus.
Tens of millions.
And yeah, he's probably got a $40 million deal right now.
Yeah, and then it gets worse. He happens to be really nice. And he has that hair going on. But when he was 12 years old, he could throw a 50-yard pass. 12 years old, he could throw a 50-yard pass. That doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then it happened every time he got on the field. That's crazy.
It is. But you know what's even, you know, the craziest thing about that, talking about young Trevor Lawrence stepping out there onto his community football field, chucking that ball 50 yards down the field. You know what's crazy about that, Walter? He didn't even have the best arm in his hometown.
You know, I bet that's true. Is that true?
That is true. You know who played in his hometown at the exact same time?
Who's that?
Justin Fields.
Wow.
And Justin Fields.
What is this amazing hometown these people are from?
I know, right?
Wow.
One hometown produced two high school kids. They went to two competing high schools on opposite sides of the town. But these two, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, have been competing with each other since they're in seventh, sixth grade, since the very lowest levels. And they've isn't that interesting? Yeah, small town. It's somewhere in Georgia.
Right. So Marissa was the soccer star. She was the soccer star in town. And what's interesting about her is whenever she talks, whenever she does a press conference about Trevor and what he's going to do in the major leagues, what he's ever going to do in the NFL, she is eating nails. She's the toughest competitor you could ever imagine. And he's like, well, you know, I'm trying to do the best I can do. We'll see what happens. More things are important than football. And she's like, are you crazy? There's nothing more important than football. Shut up. And she's a piece of work. Yes.
That's pretty common with pro athlete wives, though. They're especially when you look at them on Twitter or you follow any of these wives of pro athletes, the wives take on the haters, whereas the pro athletes, they keep their mouths shut. But it's the wives who are out there.
And now you have heard, beginning, middle, and end, everything I know about professional sports.
That's it. That's it right there.
That's it.
Well, smoking hot wife.
When he referred to Trevor Lawrence's future career in the major leagues, that was a bit of a tip-off to me. That's
Oh, that was so stupid. I'm sorry. I'm stupid. Now, what did you boys want to talk about tonight?
You know, we've been fleshing out this weird generational divide, and there are some boundaries. Me and Pugs are really close in age by about, 7 years apart? But there's some boundaries that are between us culturally that fascinate us. Pugs is so old that he still leaves you voicemails, and I'm so young that I'm annoyed by voicemails, because the voicemail that almost everyone over 50 leaves is, this is my name, this is my number, I was trying to call you, you were unable to answer. All this we know by the notice of the missed call. This is all information that is now being duplicated, completely redundant, and is unnecessary, and is not to be completely lazy, but it's a pain in the butt.
I don't leave voicemails anymore. I leave, I assume that the caller ID will do it, that the caller ID will show who called. And if you don't know my number, then we're not going to talk.
Well, Pugs has a pushback.
Look, so this is something that James has been hammering me about now for the better part of a year. Every night we do our show Monday through Thursdays, 9 p.m. right there on the YouTube, Pugs and Parker's Pillow Talk, pugscast.com. You can find us there. He's been saying for a year, why do you leave voicemails? And now my 13-year-old son is always, Dad, why do you leave voicemails? And now there's this commercial that's on. You know the commercial? It's wonderful. Commercial campaign for some insurance company about not becoming your parents. We've seen this one.
Yes, it's like, very clever, parents. Very clever.
Yeah, wonderful commercial. The latest one is taking place in like a classroom, and he's, you know, lecturing on you, don't become your parents. And it's about leaving voice messages. And apparently now, it's not just James and my kid. Apparently, we're not supposed to leave a voice message anymore. I didn't know. When did this rule change? When was there something that, I mean, I'm not that old, James. It's my point. Okay.
See, but your training happened.
When did this become the norm that old equals leaving voicemails? When did this happen?
Okay. The problem was the answering machine trained you for two decades before voicemail took over and updated that technology. It's the same way if you learn how to type on a typewriter instead of a computer, you probably leave two spaces after each sentence because that's the way the protocol was for typewriters. And younger people under 40, and I'm in the middle ground on this, they never leave two spaces after a period between sentences. That's just the way it goes. So this has to do with the technology. We have been, or some of us have been trained by the answer machine that if you don't leave a message, they don't know, because the answer machine came out before caller ID.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, the voicemail, Walter, I'm sorry, please.
The other thing about phone etiquette today is today you're supposed to make an appointment to make a phone call. This is the one I don't get. It's like, okay, so next Tuesday at 3 p.m., why don't we talk again? What do you mean next Tuesday at 3 p.m.? I got an idea. Why don't you call me and let's see what happens? And it's so weird that people make appointments to make phone calls.
Is there a difference, guys, between texting someone? Let's say I'm trying to get a hold of James Parker. Okay, so if I text James Parker, I am to assume a texting is a more immediate thing, right? If James Parker does not respond to my text within, say, 10 minutes, then he's either ignoring me or he didn't see it. Leaving a voice message is a little bit different, right? I mean, if I leave a voice message for you, I might give you 24 to 48 hours to return that voice message, right? There's a difference between these two ways. So if I'm trying to get in touch with you, I may leave a voice message just because, one, I want to get credit, and I really don't care if you call me back right away. Like, if I really need you, I'm going to text you. So, I mean, I see a purpose to the voicemail, just checking in, getting credit for the call, getting credit for the check-in. There you go. I've left you a voicemail.
Yeah, I think that's an argument against the voicemail. You know, if it's that, if you have a 48-hour window, it's almost like, what's the point? Why don't you just write a letter and put a stamp on it? But the voicemail problem that you have is you can read a text message while you're driving down the road.
You can read a text message while you're on
like a Zoom call. You can read a text message while you're at work, just at your desk. While someone else is talking, while you're waiting in line at the drive-thru. You can't do all that with voicemail.
If I need to contact you and I'm driving, I'm leaving a voice message because I can do that hands-free. Okay, I'm not going to text you. See, you just described something that's not only dangerous, but it's just not as...
Well, once you've accepted texting while driving as a given, then it's okay. Then it makes more sense. But everyone texts while we're driving. I don't know why some people pretend like it's
morally
out of bounds, because we all do it.
No, we don't.
You don't text while you drive?
I do not, no.
Do you look at your Google Maps or... anything?
No, I don't do any of these things that you try to normalize.
Everyone looks at their phone. Okay. 92-year-old my kid's 92-year-old great grandmother looks at her phone when she's driving.
Mr. Sterling, do you text while you drive?
No, I can't. I'm way too afraid to do that because the minute I look down, all will be lost. There'll be 10 cops everywhere. What I do is I have Google Maps, and Google Maps will start talking to me, and it's very disturbing. But I can't text. It's too much. All right, coming up, you had another big topic you wanted to talk about tonight. What's the other big topic?
Well, scanning menus. Are you cool with that? Hugs has some issues with with a hot bar at Whole Foods. He got his butt kicked by the hot bar at Whole Foods. We want to talk about that.
Yes, Walter, let's talk about those things.
And then VMAs, maybe.
Yeah, no, the VMAs. Because I want to talk about the VMAs because I didn't understand them at all. Did you understand them?
Oh, I didn't watch them.
I don't even know what the VMAs are anymore. What would that be in 2020?
The VMAs are an annual excuse for Taylor Swift to appear. There's no one else on those awards that you care about. You don't understand what the awards are. It's a great mystery. And this is Sterling on Sunday. I love talking to the MyPillow people. The MyPillow customer service people are waiting to talk to you right now and answer every question you've got about the Percal sheets. The Percal sheets are the premium sheets with a dense thread count. The dense thread count, what does that mean? A more comfortable sleep. A more comfortable sleep. Here's the number to call, 800-844-0876. When you call them, ask them every question. How long will these last? They got a 10-year warranty on them. 10-year, your car doesn't have a 10-year warranty. And it's got a 60-day money-back guarantee. If you're not happy in the next 60 days, send it back. You'll get all your money back. Here's the phone number, 800-844-0876. It's no risk. If you're not happy with these sheets in the next 60 days, you send them back. 800-844-0876. But here's the best part, the price. These sheets are normally $89.98. They're going to be price dropped by $50 to $39.98 just by saying, Walter! All you have to do is say, Walter! And the price drops $50. Whoa! So please give it a call, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. These sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, no risk, and a 10-year warranty. Your car, your wife didn't come with a warranty of 10 years. $89.98 to $39.98, a $50 price drop. Call 800-844-0876, MyPillow.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
All right. Pat, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Pat.
Well, hello to you, too. I had a heck of a time getting to you. I inadvertently dialed the wrong number and had a crisis line. But anyway, about the 17-year-old wanting a job.
Yes.
Okay. When I was 17, and I'm now much, much older than that, I was out of high school. My parents had to sign a work permit for me to work at a very large company, Hallmark Cards, because I was under 18.
Yes.
I just thought that was kind of unusual.
No.
It was called a work permit. I don't think they need them today, but they did in 1960.
Well, they do today. And my 17-year-old, my 17-year-old brought home a work permit for Daddy to sign and for her pediatrician to sign. And we got all of that done. And then she goes back to the store after all that trouble, and they give her crap about, oh, it's corporate, we're sorry, we thought it'd be okay, but we can't do it. But the minute you turn 18, we will hire you. And I said, get it in writing.
Good idea. Now, was she a high school graduate already?
No, she's a senior.
Okay, see, that might have been the difference with me. You know, because I did get the job, and it was a wonderful company to work for. But anyway, I just hung in there. I was just wanted to share that, because I haven't heard of anybody needing a work permit in years.
Right, neither had I. Neither had I.
So but anyway, times haven't changed.
Yeah, times haven't changed. Thanks for your call, Pat. 888-688-WALT. But Pugs and James, when you turned 15, you got a job at a radio station, didn't you?
Me, Pugs, or James?
Either of you.
Yes, I did mornings in Chicago at 15. That was my first job.
That's the deal. Everybody in radio gets their job the second they get a work permit, and that's at 15.
Man, that's a lot of people. I was actually a computer programmer for a couple years when I got out of college before I got into radio. I didn't realize that I would be bored by staring at lines of code, but you find out really quick that this is not the job for you. You're a creative type. You need to go do something different every day.
I worked for free for 3 years as an intern back in the illegal radio intern days, and I loved every minute of it.
Every minute.
No regrets.
I had a job at 15 at the radio. The worst job for me, my job was a remote engineer for high school football games. And this was particularly awful because it always involved being on a very high platform. I'm terrified of heights. I do not understand 1 second of football. And the games were 50 miles from my home, so I didn't care about those high schools. But gosh darn it, I was in show business, and I got paid $25 for the season.
The whole season, geez.
That's about the same today.
Yeah, right? Probably comparable, I hear you. They might give you some inventory in there.
Do you gentlemen have any final words of advice for the millions of listeners who listen to this show?
James, what do you got? You got something?
Figure out the hot bar at Whole Foods before you embarrass yourself, because Pugs got his butt kicked by the hot bar at Whole Foods, and they just weigh it. You just put it in the box, and like a stack of bananas, they weigh it, and then it's that easy.
Look, Mr. Sterling, this world is changing too fast for me. I can't keep up. So I consider myself, I made this statement this week on James in my show. I said, you know, I just want to be wealthy enough so that I can dine every night at the Whole Foods hot bar. That's my goal. $11.99.
You'll never be that wealthy. Now tell me how I can hear your podcast.
James, go ahead.
We're on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. It's also on pugscast.com. But if you go across any social media, Pugs and Parker will show up. YouTube, Facebook. I'm on Twitch and DLive and Daily Motion and a bunch of stuff you don't even know. We're there. Also, you can catch me on Florida Stories.
Yeah, we have Florida Stories coming up in the next hour during the midnight Misfit Hour of Sterling on Sunday. And gentlemen, thank you for taking this show to a whole different level. I appreciate it. All right, this is
who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. A low pressure system moving across the midsection of the country continues to be the focus for showers and thunderstorms across the Midwest and the Mississippi Valley. The next day or two, look for thunderstorms in Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City tomorrow, followed by some beautiful weather midweek. Sunny, cooler, low humidity. The Northeast will see these showers and thunderstorms by Tuesday into Wednesday, followed by temperatures in the lower 80s for the balance of the week. That's about normal for late summer. After all, meteorological fall starts next weekend. Humid and rainy over the Gulf Coast, especially Florida, this coming work week. This is Dr. Dave Iser, weather report at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
You know what? You know what, Sean? Let's play that Florida Stories now. I think everybody is very anxious to hear it. I don't see any reason to wait anymore. Let's hear the Florida Stories now.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. Yep, thank you so much. For our first Florida story, we're going to Fort Lauderdale, more specifically the Rustic Inn Crab House, where a man meets a few of his friends for a night out on the town, and they got some oysters, and one of the oysters is a bacteria. It doesn't make the oyster look any different, smell any different, taste any different. But the Rustic Inn Crab House served about 100 dozen oysters just that day. But this one had a bacteria in it that after the man got home, he died. Now, this is a super rare experience, or is it? You asked the manager of the Rustic Inn Crab House. He said, that's one in a billion shot. We've been open for 60 years and probably served a couple billion oysters, and we've never had anyone get sick like this guy did. One in a billion? Well, those are pretty good odds. I don't think it's that high. This is the second dude to die in the past month from a bad oyster just in Florida. Not trying to freak you out or anything, just Florida's got gators and pythons and monkeys and crazy homeless guys on bath salts and gangbangers and mass shooters, and even the food will kill you. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to go to the Tampa area, where a 34-year-old Florida man and his new bride are on their honeymoon. Isn't that sweet? They've come to Tampa. They've gotten a room downtown, having the time of their life, celebrating their new love together. And in the morning, the bride wakes up and her groom isn't there. Well, where is my new husband? Well, it turns out that after you went to sleep, Florida woman, your new husband decided that he was going to go over to the Hyatt to meet a prostitute. So if that's not bad enough, on top of it, it's not even a real prostitute. So when he shows up, he's placed in handcuffs, sent to jail. It's a local sex trafficking sting operation. And so that's why he's not there when you wake up. And if you're thinking, oh, how could this newlywed be so dumb as to go get a prostitute during his honeymoon? I would think it was rare, but there was 176 men arrested in this sting operation. I had no idea it was that popular. I guess guys in Florida just can't order whores fast enough. Other than that, though, how was your honeymoon? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
We have too much to do tonight. We have way too many stories to go through, way too much conversation. But this is the one that seems to be capturing your attention. My 17-year-old applied for a job at a nice retail store. This particular retail store sells candles and sells fizzy soap, the kind of soap you throw into the bathtub. The bathtub turns a pretty color and an amazing smell. Great. She's 17. She applied for the job. It was no secret to anybody who met her that she wasn't 35. She was clearly 17. She wanted the job. This child has no ambition. The fact that she sat up straight and said, I want this job, is news. That's the news. She fills out the form, all the paperwork, and permission to work. I had to sign a permission to work paper, and so did her pediatrician. Therefore, there was a lot of paperwork on this. Now, they had just changed their corporate policy. It would be fine for a minor to work. That's what they told her. She filled out the paperwork. She did what she had to do to get to the pediatrician. I filled out the paperwork. She shows up yesterday, and they say, oh, gee, we're sorry. We made a mistake. Corporate says we can't hire you. Well, that's very interesting, because you see, if you read the corporate history of this retailer, you will see that one of their founders started as a sales associate at the age of 17. It's right there in their corporate history. Isn't that amazing? Right there in their corporate history. My instinct as a father is to go into that store in a nice suit and tie, get very calm, find the manager and say, why'd you do this to her? I don't know why you didn't want her, but why'd you do this to her? And then they said to her, the day you turn 18, we will hire you. And I'm like, really? Is that what they said to you? Get it in writing. That's my instinct. Get it in writing. All of these companies begging for good employees. She's a good employee. Begging for all these good employees. They want to hire people. Sales associates wanted. Sales associates wanted. Start tomorrow. All of these retailers have these signs out. And then if a kid does show up, they get discouraged and discouraged. Why would you do that to a kid? Figure something out. Make it work. I had my first job in radio when I was 15. I had to wait till the day I got my working papers. But that was the day. The day I could get my working papers was the day I got a job in radio. Because, gosh darn it, the radio industry needed me. That's still how I feel. The radio industry needs me. Ooh, I know they need me. It's crazy talk. These are the Midnight Misfits times, and it turns out that there's a lot of research that loners are very important to culture, that loners are very important to making everything work. Let me find this article. And while I look for this article, you... Oh, no. Wait. Let me get back to about workers. This is this weird thing. The weird thing is this. Goldman Sachs, a company filled with people who are overpaid and overdressed, now their workers are saying there's a wave of Goldman Sachs workers quit en masse because it was a toxic Wall Street giant. That's right. Goldman Sachs has been hit by a wave of defections, and the atmosphere at the financial giant is at an all-time toxic high right now. Six overworked first-year bankers quit and walked out en masse, this is only six people, from the bank's 200 West Street headquarters on Wednesday after getting news of their bonuses. So six of them quit because they didn't like their bonuses. What's interesting is whenever there are articles about Wall Streeters quitting because they don't like their bonuses, we never get to hear what the bonuses are. It's just like when there's collective bargaining of union workers are getting 15% raises, 20% raises. We never get the actual numbers to how much money that is. So I don't know what their raises are. Probably, if they were making $100,000, it's a $50,000 bonus. I'm just guessing, but I may be way off. I may be way wrong. But they walked. They were not happy with this. They're working in a toxic atmosphere. What could be so toxic that they're told to work and perform and work and perform? Let's see, what's it say here? Oh, it says yes. The CEO and the other managers are telling them to work. Be sure you perform. Be sure you get things done. That seems to be what the big issue is. Or they're quiet quitting. This is the hot new trend among white-collar workers. They are quiet quitting. They are shutting down. Rather than work at max, they're working at less than max. They're doing what is little to get away with. Whatever they have to get away with, that's all they're doing. No more. You crazy? They've refused to work at their maximum. They've refused even to do what they're required to do. They're just shutting down. Wow. It's a remarkable level of arrogance. And at 16 past the hour, this is Sterling on Sunday. Isn't it great when you open up your linen closet and you see all the beautiful sheets, towels, blankets that you've got? What a collection you've got. You take care of them. That's why they're in good shape. Now you have an opportunity to give them new friends. There are Percal sheets for sale at MyPillow. The Percal sheets at MyPillow are beautiful, beautifully colored. They've got black, red, pink, white, whatever color you can imagine, it's at MyPillow. But call them now, because there's a live operator standing by right now who wants to talk to you. When you talk to that operator, say, your promo code, and no one else has this, is Walter. Say, my promo code is Walter, and you know what's going to happen? The Percal sheets, which are normally $89.98, will drop in price to $39.98. That's right, they'll drop $50 when you just say my name. $89.98 to $39.98. Here's the phone number. You ready? 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. And what are you gonna reach when you call that number? You're not gonna reach a machine. You're not gonna reach an automatic anything. You're gonna reach a nice person who knows everything about those sheets and will answer every question you've got. No obligation. Just call them. Ask your questions. 800-844-0876. These sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, no risk, and a 10-year warranty. Your car, your wife didn't come with a warranty of 10 years. $89.98 to $39.98, a $50 price drop. Call 800-844-0876. MyPillow.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by
SpongeBob.
Welcome to my club! Welcome to my club!
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we have an 18-year-old girl from Alabama who is just starting the next chapter of her life. She's going to college. She's a freshman at West Florida, and it's in Pensacola. Beautiful, right near the beach. She's away from home for the first time, and it's the first day of classes. She goes through all her classes on that first day, and as she's walking home, just beaming with optimism, beaming with pride about her situation in life. Now she's beaming because a lightning strike. You know, lightning starts from the ground and goes up to the clouds. And it started when she was walking. It started in her left foot. It blows a hole through her shoe. It blows a hole through her sock. Travels up her left side of her body. Explodes the Apple Watch on her left wrist. And then pops out of her chest all the way up to the clouds. It takes less than a second, but she is blown off of her feet. Her cute little black blouse has been burned all the way up the front, so now she's exposed. A senior goes, helps her up, covers her up, gets her to the hospital. She's going to be okay. They say if she hadn't been an 18-year-old in fantastic physical shape, she very likely would have had a heart attack and died. Her mom tells the local TV station, "We definitely feel like God performed a miracle for her. That's the only explanation for why she is still here with us." Lady, God just hit your daughter with a lightning bolt. I don't think he's doing you any favors. I mean, I appreciate your optimism. I just see it a little different. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What
is it? Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, it's 22 past the hour as you're driving across the country, and there is Andrew. Andrew is our correspondent from the coast of Miami. You've seen the show Below Deck, where people in tightly fitting uniforms but did not graduate from high school are working on the decks of super yachts. Andrew's one of those guys. Welcome, Andrew. Welcome. Do you have a
report?
Good evening,
sir. Sorry I wasn't able to call you last week, but I was on assignment.
What kind of assignment would you be on?
On a boat work, sir.
Tell us about the work you did on the boat last week.
Last week, it was boring, quite boring. It was for some foreigners that come here a lot, lots of money, pretty uneventful. Yeah, quite boring, actually. Wasn't as fun as some of the other ones typically are, but they pay really well, so I'm not complaining.
Well, I assume they pay you really well. What does it cost them to get on the yacht?
Depends on which boat they're looking at. The main one that I work with, she costs $8,000 for a day, which is 8 hours. If you want extra excursions, it's extra money for the fuel. And mind you, on those things, it is, unlike cars, which is miles per gallon, on those things, it's gallons per mile. So, you know, a little simple extra one can cost a guy an extra $5,000. So it's typical for a person to spend $15,000-$20,000 on a cheap date.
Now, are the passengers, the customers on these yachts, are they usually topless?
Sometimes, a lot of times, and sometimes bottomless too, sir.
How do you deal with this?
It's just one of those things, you know. You're expected to be super professional, you know. Basically, look but don't touch. But I try my best not to look. I've got a little trick. If there's a woman in front of me and she's topless, I just stare her right in her eyes, and that seems to cure it for me. And they really seem to appreciate that a lot. They'll even say to you, you know, "I really appreciate you not looking down every 2 seconds." For that, I've actually been rewarded for that once. We had this beautiful lady come on, gorgeous lady, married to a big fellow who was a state trooper, and she caught me. I could not help myself. I looked, and she caught me looking. I looked at her. I said, "I'm so sorry. I usually don't do that." She blushed. She thought it was cute, and at the end of the run, she came into the galley. She said, "Chef, I have a a special tip for you. I said, yes, ma'am, what is it? And she took my head and buried them right in her boobies.
Now, you said she was married to a state trooper?
Yes, sir.
How could he afford this?
Well, they are friends with the owner of the boat. So this happened to be a family trip that the owner of the boat, he's always having his friends come on board, you know?
Right.
And it was a fun one. It was that family had, they had, I think, about four daughters, plus the owner and his girl, his children. It was a madhouse on the boat. But those are usually the best trips because it's very family-oriented.
Now, when they make these runs, as you call them, when they make these runs off the coast of Miami, how long a trip are they? How long do these runs typically go, or do they just go around in circles?
You can pick and choose and make your trip how you want it. However, on this last one, this is for the owners. He does, and he charges his boat. So what he does is he has 3 trips per year at 10 days per trip. And that's usually what he does. And he likes to go across the waters to the Bahamas, whether it be Bimini or Nassau. And he knows all of the little private out islands there. It's a really cool thing. Nice to be rich, I guess.
It's nice to be rich. One of the worst experiences I had is I did a couple big-time cruises, you know, real cruises that went to the little Nassau Island. And that was a terrible experience.
Because, that's horrible.
Right? It's horrible.
Yes. Well, for me, I'm a bit snobbish about it at this point, I would imagine, because after being on, you know, luxury yachts like I have been, it's hard to go back to that. It's almost like owning your own jet and then having to do, you know, commercial flights. It's real downer, I would imagine.
Well, have you ever done a private jet?
Absolutely.
Well, it is horrible to go back commercial. And I've taken a couple private jet runs, and that's the greatest thing you could possibly have. And then you go on a commercial jet, and it's worse than a bus.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It's really strange. You know, I go through weird emotions sometimes, especially when I get off of these trips, from going to these private islands and these really gorgeous places, and then coming back to whether I'm going to be in Miami or whatever, back to the, you know, to the regular hustle and bustle. It's a real letdown. You know, you can almost feel yourself change, you know, after seeing stuff like that.
All right, Andrew. Now, this is what we didn't do the right thing by you. We didn't get your phone number and your email. So I'm going to say, hold on. Sean's going to talk to you and get your phone number and your email, and then we won't have a mistake like we had again last week. But, Andrew, these reports are very important to us, and I appreciate it.
I like doing it, too. I've got a ton of stories I'd like to get off of my chest, so it's right on time.
We want the stories. We need to hear the stories. These stories will improve us emotionally and spiritually, Andrew. Hold on. Sean's going to get your information. It's 28 past the hour. Well, we've had a big show tonight. We've learned a great deal. We've learned from Pugs and James Parker about how to handle the telephone. Very few shows handle that. We've learned about Trevor Lawrence. Always good to hear about Trevor Lawrence. And so many other things. But coming up in just seconds, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about loners. If you're listening right now, which you are, and you're a midnight misfit, which you are, you're a loner. You're listening in the car, in the truck alone. There's nobody with you. This is the time where it's just you and me. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. And I hate to say it, but more heat is on tap for the great American West. High pressure, which receded over the weekend, will build and re-exert its influence here in late summer. Las Vegas will see highs of 102 the next day or two and then sizzle to 110 by midweek. Sacramento around 100 by midweek, also after a cooler weekend last weekend. Monsoonal thunderstorms will bubble up again by midweek too. Even Seattle and the Northwest we'll see more 90s. But it's almost September. Let's at least think of fall. This is Dr. Dave Iser. Weather reports at 6 and 36, past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida Story, we're going to Port Orange, Florida. A man's at the local grocery store.
He just came up and started making comments about how pretty she was and how good her dancing was and how he could never have children and he wanted children.
Lauren Benning says she thought 85-year-old Helmuth Kolb was just a lonely old man when he first eyed her and her playful 8-year-old daughter inside this Port Orange Winn-Dixie last week. Mother and daughter went on their way and happened to be leaving the store through one exit as Helmuth Kolb was coming out another.
Approached me in the parking lot, actually chased me down in the parking lot and said, hey, I want to make a deal with you. I'd like to buy her for $100,000. I was in complete shock.
Kolb had been serving 5 years probation for grabbing another child in a local Walmart in 2018, kissing her wrist, offering to buy her for $200,000.
His intent is to buy children. That's not okay.
And I don't know if this 85-year-old Florida man's been paying attention, but there's inflation. You tried to buy a kid in 2018 for $200,000, and now the price is supposed to go down to $100,000. On top of being a horrible human being and a child predator, this man also has a horrible grasp of economics. But we all know the rules here on Florida Stories. What do we do with pedophiles? Into the wood chipper you go. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
The president's daughter's diary was something that was sold to a media outlet. When you track down where did it come from, you'll never guess. A 40-year-old Florida woman and her 58-year-old Florida friend. The woman admittedly stole the president's daughter's diary. Calls her friend, hey, what are we going to do with this? He's like, I know how to make an S ton of money. So they have now pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit interstate transportation of stolen property. And if you're wondering how much the president's daughter's diary is worth, they got paid $40,000 for it. I would have guessed a lot more, but whatever. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, good evening. Loneliness is not so much an objective state of affairs as a subjective state of mind, a function of desired and achieved levels of social interaction, and also a type of types of interaction. Lovers often feel lonely in the single absence of their beloved, even when completely surrounded by friends and family. Jilted lovers feel much lonelier than lovers who are merely apart from their beloved, indicating that loneliness is not merely a matter of the amount or degree of interaction, but also of the potential or possibility of interaction. Conversely, it is common to feel lonely within a marriage because the relationship is no longer validating or nurturing, but diminishing us and holding us back. There are many levels of loneliness. But this is the special level we have. When you and I are listening to each other on the radio, we're not alone. We're not lonely. We get to deal with each other as peers, as misfits. The reason I do this show is because thousands of people are misfits. And the only time they feel okay is when they're listening to the radio. It's the magic of the radio. I can talk with you all night, and you're not going to feel lonely once. There you are working in the lobby of an office building. You're keeping guard. You're on the third shift of a factory. You're working in that machine all night. And as long as I'm talking with you and you're talking with me, we're not alone. I'm alone in this building. Completely alone. The guy in the lobby of an office building keeping guard, he's completely alone. The officer on the third shift in a patrol car, completely alone. But we're not alone because I'm here. and you're there, and we know we're with each other. I'm 14 inches from this microphone. You're 14 inches from that speaker. There's a level of intimacy in this communication that's unlike anything else. This is radio. This is a great medium. It's 41 past the hour, and the show is Sterling on Sunday. I love talking to the MyPillow people. The MyPillow customer service people are waiting to talk to you right now and answer every question you've got about the Percal sheets. The Percal sheets are the premium sheets with a dense thread count. The dense thread count, what does that mean? A more comfortable sleep. A more comfortable sleep. Here's the number to call, 800-844-0876. When you call them, ask them every question. How long will these last? They got a 10-year warranty on them. 10-year, your car doesn't have a 10-year warranty. And it's got a 60-day money-back guarantee. If you're not happy in the next 60 days, send it back. You'll get all your money back. Here's the phone number, 800-844-0876. It's no risk. If you're not happy with these sheets in the next 60 days, you send them back. 800-844-0876. But here's the best part, the price. These sheets are normally $89.98. They're going to be price dropped by $50 to $39.98 just by saying, Walter! All you have to do is say, Walter! And the price drops $50. Whoa. So please give it a call, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. These sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, no risk, and a 10-year warranty. Your car, your wife didn't come with a warranty of 10 years. $89.98 to $39.98, a $50 price drop. Call 800-844-0876. MyPillow.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday doesn't fit in.
All right, so Britney Spears has released a new song, first in decades, with Elton John. This is the song. I don't hear her. Do you hear her? Do you like this song? Take a listen. I've picked a lot of songs that turned out to be hits and a few that were not hits, and I don't hear it. I hear a rendition of his old song, Elton John's old Tiny Dancer song. But I can't even hear Britney Spears singing. She doesn't, I don't hear her. Do you? And it's not a song I want to hear again. I only played it twice for you. Well, what do you think? 888-688-9258. They didn't make a fuss about it at the Video Music Awards, did they? No, I don't think they did. 888-688-9258. You get to be the music critic. We can talk about this. We can talk about all of these very important things. And now, Vic Ferrari, a great New York City retired police detective with a great Vic Ferrari story.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about my experiences as a rookie cop. So in the police academy back then, it was 6 months of police science, physical training, law, but they didn't really teach anything to do with street smarts. And the academy instructors all had under 10 years on the job. They were just kind of hiding out in there to take the sergeant's exam and wanted to work steady hours. These guys really didn't have a feel for the street. And all they told us was, when you get out in the street, don't listen to a word the old timers tell you. Then you get to a precinct or field training, and what do the old timers tell you? Forget everything they taught you in the police academy. So needless to say, there was a large learning curve when you first hit the street. So I was assigned to a field training unit in the Bronx where I was with approximately 50 other rookies, and every day they would sprinkle us out on foot posts across the South Bronx. If we had any questions, we'd call for the sergeant, who would arrive maybe a half hour, 45 minutes later. Sometimes they'd be happy to see us offering advice. Other times they told us, what the hell are you calling us for? So that was a mixed bag of tricks. So early on, I got stuck working with another rookie cop who didn't take his NYPD career seriously. The guy looked like a male model. He looked like Fabio. He had like impeccable hair. He was a big weightlifter. And we would get a foot post when I would get stuck working with this guy. And the first thing he would do is when he'd get off to his post, he'd start looking around for where the women were because he was always trying to get phone numbers. And then his hat would come off. He would unbutton his shirt. Sometimes he wouldn't even wear his bulletproof vest so he could get some sun on his chest. And so for me, it was always an uphill battle when I got stuck working with this guy to do him any police report. He would never want to take reports. He would always, you know, squash things. And so one day we get approached. I'm standing on a corner on Tremont Avenue in the Bronx. So we get approached by this female crackhead who has information about a homicide that occurred over the weekend. So I'm saying to myself, oh, this is great. I take out my memo book. I start writing down her information, the bad guy's name, et cetera, et cetera. And my fellow rookie partner starts telling her, yeah, go call the tips hotline, and maybe there'll be a reward in it for you. Now, this goes against everything I was taught both ways, as far as you got to get this woman up to the detective squad and talk to the detectives before she disappears. So I'm getting on the radio trying to get a squad car there to take her over to the precinct to talk to the detectives. And he starts yelling at me, you're going to tie up my day. I got lunch planned. And now you're going to get us involved with this homicide nonsense. I'm like, look, dude, you got to do your job. So sure enough, a radio car came. I jumped in the car with the crackhead. We went up to the precinct. And sure enough, she knew who committed the homicide, and she could ID the guy. So it was a feather in my cap. On the other side of the coin, my fellow rookie partner was fired a couple of years later for, let's just say, doing a lot of things he shouldn't have been doing. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
All right, well, Chef Drew, a chef on yachts off the coast of Miami, will be with us every week at 25 minutes past the hour, 25 minutes past midnight, 20 minutes past midnight, to tell us yet another yachty story. This is better than Below Deck, you know, that Bravo show, Below Deck, which features Australian high school dropouts wearing uniforms that are too tight and don't quite understand the basics of working with other people. I've never seen anything like it. Well, okay, they're cute and they're funny, but they don't seem to understand how to get along at work. But, of course, that's what makes it a great show. However, Chef Drew will be with us on a regular basis to share with us stories about being a chef on the big yachts, the big boats, off the coast of Miami. And then, after a couple episodes of that, I will say to Drew on the air, I'll say, Drew, will you make us some food? Because the one thing that's always interesting about Below Deck on Bravo is the food looks amazing. The people working on the boats may seem like idiots, but the food looks unbelievable, and it always starts with lobster. Fresh lobster. Crazy amounts of lobster. They have unlimited supplies of this great food, so I want some of that food. Don't you? Yeah, of course. Yeah. What else? Where's my buddy Drew, the Uber driver in Las Vegas? Where is Drew, the Uber driver in Las Vegas? It seems that we haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. Is there a problem? Drew, are you in trouble? Any sort of trouble in Las Vegas? Because it's been 3 weeks of torrential, horrible, flooded rain. Two people have died already, maybe more. I don't wish that on anybody. And it's a strange place to have horrendous flooding because it's super flat. They don't have a traditional sewage system. They don't have a traditional way to drain off the water. And the casinos are getting flooded. You're sitting in a casino, you're playing the slots, and the rain comes in. Can you imagine that? And they're not clearing. They're not clearing the casinos. They're saying, well, no, you go ahead. You can stay there and play the slots. It's crazy. It's crazy talk. Here's my email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Here's my website, Walter Sterling Show. Everything you want to know about this show is there. We're on 3 hours, three hours every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast. And my gosh, did I get you a deal on the Percal sheets? Drops $50. $50 on the Percal sheets. God bless you, Mike Doucette. Could anybody have a better advertiser than Mike Doucette at Northern Ad Agency? And a really good guy. Now, he was in the hospital. He had a sinus infection that became systemic. Mike Doucette, I hope you're better. I'm going to say a prayer for you. We're going to light a candle for you. Everything's going to be okay. Swear to you. But, wow, it's 78 degrees outside. It's beautiful throughout the country. School starts tomorrow. The most important thing I'm going to do for my kids tomorrow, and I hope you do it too, walk them to school. Pay very close attention to everything they say. They give you secrets as to how things are really going. And the most important thing you're going to find out tomorrow is who is the teacher? Who is their teacher? There are always three types of teachers in any given year. There's the strict one. You don't want that one. There's the easy one. You don't really want that one. And then there's the one in the middle who will teach them things sweetly. The best teacher I ever had was in third grade, Mrs. Worcester. Mrs. Worcester had some deal. When we were doing well, she'd walk through the aisles of the classroom with a tin of candy, Nelco, pink Nelco candies. And she called them pink pills. And we get pink pills. I hope your kid has a great year. The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.